Last year, people gave away their whole life out of fear, and I get it. I understand we got to be careful, but they gave away their life. Tomorrow is not promised to us. Today wasn't
promised to us yesterday, but here you are. This is your chance to get to know God greater than you ever thought
possible, if you want to.
Amen. That's it. If you want to. I'm going to say this openly because we're all family. I want you all to pray for Anne Marie. She's going through some, she's being attacked. She's, you know, her heart's been, her spirit's been attacked. And I rebuke that in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that. She should be sitting next to her husband. And we all need to call her and say, Anne Marie, we love you. What we love you. What part of love is missing? Nothing. Sometimes you've got to give a little to get a little. Remember I said in order to have friends, one has to be friendly. In order to really receive God, you've got to do it in the spirit, not in the flesh. This man is sitting there risking his life today. We need to call her as a family. Don't yell at her, please, because how many here made a mistake yesterday? See, all of you. We're not judging her, but we're saying we love her. And that man is loving her today, sitting right there, missing her. She belongs with her husband in church because this is
she's going to find the greatest peace, the greatest victories, and things that will change her life when she gets out of the way, when she gets the flesh out of the way. So will you all do that with me today? You pray for John, and will you all just call Anne Marie later and say, we missed you. Where were you?
We can just
because
that
that's love.
Over to her house.
You want to bring what over your house?
A switch over to her house.
We're not bringing no switch to nobody's house. God, you give her a microphone. We had a wonderful time the other night. Everybody say hi to Andre.
35 years I've played with the same bass player. 35 years. I've not played anywhere where Greg hasn't been at my side. And Friday night, Andre filled in for, and he did just a magnificent job. And he was wonderful.
I knew him upstairs.
Open up your hymnal and stand with us to 367, because the one thing that we have to do, 369. The one thing we even Anne Marie needs to learn how to do is surrender all. The reason why you get upset is because you haven't surrendered all. Listen to what I'm saying to you. The reason why things aren't flowing in your life the way you want them to is because you haven't surrendered all. How much do you have to surrender? All. And God said when you do that, he will fill you with more than you could ever have, more than you could have ever dreamed of. I believe that. I believe it.
I got to find a way to get you to truly believe. When you surrender all, the flesh doesn't matter anymore. Your opinion doesn't matter. It's God's opinion that matters. I surrender all. He gave all for you. Stay standing this morning, church.
Stay standing up. No kneeling today, just standing. I won't ask you to kneel. Thank you, Lord.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Give him praise, church. Deliver us from what?
Evil.
Deliver us from evil. What's the virus? Is the virus evil? And you ask God to deliver you from what?
Evil.
You got to believe that he's going to do it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay, you're missing one page up here, Renee. I need another page for the bulletin that's on. I want to thank Marilyn. How many know that Marilyn does the bulletin? Every week she makes all the bulletins. The other page has some scriptures on it I need, sweetheart.
Bring out my sermon all week. I tell you, when I leave church on Sunday, starting Sunday night, I start working on my sermon. And I had a sermon I'm working on. I was real excited
about it. I worked on it Tuesday, and we had a Bible study, and I worked on it, and we had a lot of time, a lot of fun. And then on Thursday night, God gave me another sermon. and I text Marilyn, and I emailed Marilyn and said, I didn't send you the scripture readings because I don't know what they are yet, because everything I had written down was changed. And it was Saturday when I sent her the scripture readings. But I just want you to see something. They're still in your bulletin. Saturday, I got her, and she still put it in the bulletin. I want to thank her. I want to thank her. You know what that's called, church? Teamwork. We're on the same team. So I'm going to talk to you about today, being on the same team. Now, Debbie, we do something in our church a little different. We have a quiz every Sunday. We have multiple choice, and you don't have to know all the answers because not everybody does. So we used to say, look at different people, but you didn't get the right answer anyway. And it's simply to get more of Scripture in the church is why we do it. But we enjoy it. I enjoy it. I hope you do too. Because I enjoy looking them up and writing them out. And not who gets them right or wrong. But I just find them very interesting in learning. So are you ready? I didn't have the quiz at Bible study Tuesday night. I apologize because I left it home. But I have it today. So Paul warns of following the law to achieve righteousness instead of what? Paul is warning now. How you doing, brother? You got your bulletin? Yes. We are. Wise guy. Is that before the quiz? You know what that's called, Ivan? Teamwork. That's called teaming up on me. Faith, you see what happened? You think you're the pastor and you can just do what you want? No. After I praised Marilyn and everything. Okay, wise guy, let's see how good you do. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. We don't want anybody perishing in this church. We don't want anybody. We want you all to receive every blessing and every promise from God. Sometimes it takes a little work. Oops, I'm sorry. Sometimes God gives you these blessings, but you have to till the ground. Sometimes he says, I will make the way. What he says, I will make the way. How many know the Bible says, I will make the way, Deacon Sergio? But what do we have to walk the way. He made the way, but you got to get up and walk the way. You see, it's not a free ride. He's opening doors for you. If he opens a door, what does he expect you to do? Whoa. Means you got to do something. If you've been given the seed of Abraham, you have to do something. You have to till the soil. What is that? Depart in sight. I'm getting ahead of myself. You got to take the weeds out of yourself so that soil and that seed can grow inside of you. Amen. You got to get out of here and get into here. We did the scripture readings. Are we good now? Responsive reading? Praise God. Paul warns of following the law to achieve righteousness instead of what? Instead of Christ's teachings? Instead of his teachings or faith? Paul warns of following the law to achieve righteousness instead of what? Instead of following Christ's teachings. How many think it's Christ's teachings? How many think it's his teachings, Paul's teachings? Or how many think it's faith instead of following faith? Paul warns of following the law to achieve righteousness instead of faith, because they sought not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. It is your faith that changes who you are. It's following your faith, because if you're following your faith, you're following who? Jesus. So it's your faith. How many of the signs that befell Egypt involve swarms? Remember when Moses came to the Pharaoh and he had all the... How many were the signs? Anybody want to say? The answer is 10. 10. Remember Moses and the Pharaoh? And he's standing there, and he's got all these things with the Pharaoh. Yes? Please, Jim, help me here. How many of the signs that befell Egypt involved swarms? Is it one, was it four, or was it 7 of the 10 involved swarms? How many think it was one? How many think it was four? How many think it was 7? How many of the signs that befell Egypt involved swarms? Let's see, there were frogs, lice, flies, locusts. There were 4. Yeah, you ought to read it. It's a great story, Lily, with Moses, with the Pharaoh. He was fighting against Moses, and Moses had all these things from God. It was pretty cool. It's really, really cool. There was like 10 things that he did. How many remember the 10th one? That was the firstborn. Anybody remember what the first sign was? Okay. What was the third miracle Moses showed Pharaoh of Egypt? Of the 10, what was the third one? Was it a plague of lice? Was it a plague of frogs? Or was it water to blood? What was the third miracle Moses showed the Pharaoh of Egypt? How many think it was a plague of lice or gnats? How many think a plague of frogs? How many think water to blood? The first one was Aaron's rod. When Moses threw the rod down and it turned into a serpent. Remember that? Moses threw his rod down and the rod turned into a serpent. The second one was water to blood. The third one was a plague of lice. Flies. No, gnats. What did Moses use to afflict the Pharaoh and all of Egypt with boils? I hope nobody doesn't know. What did Moses use to afflict the Pharaoh and all of Egypt with boils? Did he use water from the well? Did he use ashes from a furnace? Or did he use the sun? What did Moses use to afflict the Pharaoh and all of Egypt with boils? How many think water from a well? He used that. Anybody? How many ashes from a furnace? Anybody? How many think the sun? What did he use? He threw them into wind, afflicting them with boils, ashes from a furnace. That was Moses and the Pharaoh. It's pretty powerful stuff. God is so good. Man, God, I wish you know God so well. I'm so lucky. No, I'm sorry. I apologize. I am so blessed. I get all week long to spend time with God. You guys have things that you do and everything that you do, but I'm sitting at my Bible on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, looking up scriptures, looking up websites, and I realize that I'm spending all this time with God, and my faith keeps growing in my knowledge and the wisdom. I don't know a tenth of what's in this book. I do know this, though. When I learn something new, it hungers me to want to know more. You see, when I discover something, God shows me something new. I said, I didn't know that. And so I say to myself, what else don't I know? Because I want more of God in my life, for my children and my wife and my home and my friends and for my church. That's what I pray for. You go to different churches and hear different sermons, but my heart is for you. When I said about Aunt Marie before, was my heart, because part of my sermon today was for her. Everything I do from Sunday to Sunday is all for you. Now, it's my heart. And my pastor, when I took all the college courses and my other church, he said, you have to have the heart of a pastor. And he called me and he said, you do, because you want to help people. You want to serve people. You want to lift people up. That's my heart. My wife will tell you it's one of the things that I do. She said, you always lift people up. I said, yes, that's who I am. I want you to feel better about you, not about me, but about you, because if you feel better about you, then everybody else feels better being with you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Praise God. That's why everything we do in this church is for each other. That's why I miss Anne Marie today, because she's supposed to be here. Because God gave me a word, and she's part of our family. She's part of our team. And that's why you all just, I want you, anybody who doesn't come on a Sunday, you know what I wish in my heart, I pray in my heart, that you say, I don't know what I'm missing today, but I hate missing it. Brother Fred has a recorder over here. He records every sermon. I don't know if you know that, but Brother Fred records every sermon. You can go on the Second Congregational website, his webpage, and come home to Jesus, and you can hear every sermon. He edits everybody's name out, so I can say Anne-Marie 35 times, and it won't be in the thing because he edits it out. But where's my bride? Is she okay? Because we got to do... Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Deacon Bill, how are you? Everybody say hi to Deacon Bill. Deacon Bill, how long have you been in this church? Since the 40s. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? He believes this church. So Lord, we pray this morning that you hear our prayer to be closer to you. And the way to get closer to you is to know you. And the way to know you is to read your word. Open our hearts one page at a time. Direct us, Lord. You've given us all these blessings. You've blessed us with things we don't even realize. Now when we get to know you, we can call on you. Use your word and call on our friends and lift our friends and our family. The good news. We want to give people good news. The world doesn't give us good news. You turn on the television set, you almost want to turn it right off. It depresses because there's no good news. There's no news about you. You have the answers. And we call on you, Lord, for this church and those in attendance today, Lord. I call on you to touch them, to bless them, to lead them, to direct them, to have that Holy Spirit inside. Just reach out and say, hey, there's more. Don't you want to more? Don't you want to know about more? Don't you want to learn? Don't you want to be blessed more? Our Father in heaven has so much for us. Hang on to that. Reach for it. Yearn for it. Just as hard as you can. That should be the Spirit. The Spirit of God is what you want to lead you. Not your flesh, not your thoughts, but God's thoughts. Because His thoughts for you are greater than any thought you can ever have for yourself. So Lord, we pray that this morning, that these people get blessed and they receive you in a different way this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Love that. Amen and amen. Amen. Come on, give them praise or let them hear you out there. Oh Lord, fill the church up with people. Lord, help us. He said, I did already. I did everything you've asked me to do. He said, but I call you to go out to the people. I'm sending you out to the people. I'm doing all I can do. I need you to take a walk in faith. Amen? You want to know what he's saying? I bless you. Have faith and go out and bring them. The harvest is ready. He's saying for you to do it. You can ask God to bless this church every day, and we do, and ask God to be with us and the angels, and He will. But to fill the church with believers, we have to go get them. We have to find them. We have to have faith to tell people, amen? Faith to talk to the person at the grocery store, at the pharmacy, wherever you're, and your family. We're always afraid to talk about Jesus. We'll talk about politics. We'll talk about Afghanistan. We'll talk about Trump. We'll talk about Yankees and Red Sox. But we stop at Jesus. Why? Because that's what will change your life. I believe that. I do. I believe that praise is like music in heaven. I believe when His children praise Him, I don't care if you're 1, 2, or 50, when you praise God, I believe they hear it in heaven. I believe because the Word said so. You want to move God? Praise Him. You want to move God? Follow Him. You want to move God? Be more like Him. He will move with you. Amen. We are a team. Say that with me. We are a team. You got to tell Anne-Marie this, John, today, okay? Because it really is about her, too. Acts 2 said, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. The Bible says that there was about 120 people in that room. Amen? Think about this, 120 people. You think they all got along? You think they all agreed on everything? You think they were robots or people? Ask yourself. There was 120 people in that room. Some might have been tired. Some might have been this. Some might have been that. Some people didn't know the other people. And do you think they all agreed on everything? What's the best everything? No, of course they didn't. But the Bible says they were all in one accord. Can we do that in this church? What do you think? You think it's still possible today, 2021, that we can be in one accord? Because let me just spiritually shake you up. If we could come to this church one Sunday and be in one accord, this church would shake. The Spirit of God would fill it, just like it did that day on the day of Pentecost. It didn't happen until they were all in one accord. They were on the same team. The team was God. The team was Jesus. They were there waiting. Can you imagine any church going to church and being in one accord? That means coming to church and forgetting about the news, forgetting about what you're doing later, forgetting about dinner, forgetting about your cell phone, forgetting about everything, everything except God. Coming into church and being in one accord. Can you imagine what God can do in that church? Can you imagine that people would look at this church in a very strange way because you can't find it? You can't find it. People are all worried about everything else. What's sin and this, all that. I want the church to be in one accord. Maybe I'm reaching too far, but I'm telling you, in the day of Pentecost, there was 120 people in that room, but the Bible said they were in one accord. That just gives me goosebumps. They were a team, come together to achieve a common goal. They joined forces. They were a complement to one another. Now, you know your pastor likes sports, so let me use sports today. If you have a team, any team that you like, you have star players, right, Deacon Sergio? There's some star player. In football, there's the running back and the quarterback, and in baseball, of course, there's... And sometimes, not everybody on the team, the stars, they don't perform well that day. They don't, maybe a couple of days, they don't do things right. They don't get hits or anything. You know what happens to the team? The other people have to raise it up. You see, the other people say, they aren't doing it today, but I know they do it for us. But we got to do better. We got to play harder. We got to show them. We got to lift them up. Why? Because we're on one team. They do that all the time to keep the team strong. If the star player or players have a bad day, the rest of the team must lift them up. Do more. Now, if a pitcher on the baseball team has a bad day, the other players try to lift him up by scoring more runs. They say, we're with you. We see you're not having the day we always knew you could have. You're having a bad day, so we're going to work harder. We're going to score more runs to lift you up. We're going to give you the support you give us when you pitch great. Amen? That's a team, because you're not on your own. Let me say that again. The players are saying you're not on your own. Maybe the quarterback throws an interception, and the team's, the defense says, we got to go out there. This guy's been our quarterback. He's doing great. Let's go out there and win one for him. Let's go out there and say, you're not alone, because we're on the same team. We're in one accord. Amen? If the pitcher should never complain or show their teammates up. You imagine if the pitcher was in the dugout and the guy strikes out and with men on base, he gets mad at them. That doesn't happen on a team. Amen? Because if the pitcher gave up a home run, you don't see the outfielder throwing his glove down and pointing at the pitcher. But no, because they're a team. They're in one accord. You understand the team and the one accord. Understand what it means. We have church in this church. That sounds crazy to say that, right? How many ever had a bad day? Really, how many have ever had a bad day? How many have ever had days, bad days? Weak moments, frustration, even with each other. Understand that. It happens in church. Oh my God, you're kidding. I thought we were Christians. Yeah, we're Christians, all right. But if you just say, how many of us have a bad day, and you say, all of us do, then there will be a time when it's you who needs to be lifted up, you to be forgiven, or you to be comforted. Understand that. When this person's having a bad day, and you look at them, it's how you lift them up, how you treat them, because the day will come when it'll be you that has a bad day. And you come to church having a bad day, and you come and everybody sees you're having a bad day, and they come and they lift you up. That's does. That's what a church in one accord does. Amen? Hallelujah. That's why today I'm praying for Anne Marie, because this message is for her. This message is for anybody who's dealing with emotions and flesh. Because we're a team, and this team is only strong as its weakest link, and this team is only strong when we're in one accord. We can do great and mighty things for God. Understand that. Not for yourself, that's selfish, but you can do great and mighty things for God and for your family if we're all in one accord, if you're truly eyes are on God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So God calls us to rise up, to be of one mind. To be of how many minds? His mind, not yours. I'm sorry. But God said to be of his mind. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. This goes not only in church. This is attitude of understanding and unity goes into your home. To keep us from judging others. Keep yourself pure, in control. Keep the spirit inside you in control. Not your emotions. That's what happens, folks. That's why a church has a problem being in one accord, because people come into church with their emotions. Oh, I'm having a bad day. I don't like this person. We had an argument. Who cares? God says to forgive each other, lift each other up, edify one another. That's being in one accord. That's being on the same team. You don't want to be mad at somebody because someday it might be you who needs that comfort. Understand that. If you all said we all have bad days, how many have bad days? Come on, tell the truth. How many have bad days? Then there'll be a day when you come to church that you need to be lifted up. So if you come to church and somebody else needs to be lifted up, what should you do, church? Lift them up. Hallelujah. Keep yourself pure in control. Keep the spirit inside of you in control, not your emotions. And here's it. This allows God to work in this church, in your home, in your life, because they were in one accord with God. Their vision, their hope, and their prayers were heard. The Holy Spirit fell on all of them. The wind blew. The building shook because God's presence was there. I want this building to shake. I'm crazy. But you're going to hear crazy things from your pastor because I love him that much. I want this building to shake. I want you to feel his presence. And the only way we can do that is as a team in one accord. Understand that. Reason why things aren't happening, maybe because we have too many emotions happening. And I'm talking about me too. Amen. God said he's going to do great and mighty things. I'd like to see that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Some men, even religious men, say there are things in the Bible that no longer working today. Anybody ever hear that? Oh, that doesn't really. Some things from the Old Testament, they look at their Bible and don't judge the book by its cover. This is a magnificent book. But they say, oh, that doesn't pertain to... Anybody ever heard that? Oh, that doesn't pertain to today. Oh, speaking in tongues, yeah, that was back in the day. Nobody speaks in tongues today. Oh, miracles of healing, yeah, that was during Jesus. Nobody does. Nobody believes in those things. People say, well, men say that. Some things from the Old Testament. Oh, yeah, that's the Old Testament. That's the old book. Don't bother reading the old book. There's nothing in there for you today. It's a lie from the pits of hell. Men and religions say a lot of things. Let me say that again. Men and religions say a lot of things, don't they? For whatever reason, many reasons, to gain, to control, to keep in bondage, whatever the reason, they say these things are of no value to me. Speaking in tongues, believing for healings, believing for prophecy, believing for visions, believing for dreams, believing for interpretation. Ah, that's not today. That was in the old days. So I ask you this. When you go to God to pray, how many pray to God? Anybody? Anybody here beside me pray to God? When you go to God to pray faith, you say, well, you know what these people say, God, so I don't know if I can believe that, you know, if I can ask, because you know what they say. Oh, you know what this church, I can't come to you to confession, Lord, because I got to go to somebody else. Oh, I can't believe for that, Lord, because my church doesn't believe in that. And you talk to God, or do you go to God with your prayers? You go to God and say, well, he said, or do you go and say, Lord, your word tells me. You want a prayer answered. You want a real great answer. When you go to God, you say, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to come, and your word tells me. You know that door that opens up? When you say to God, Lord, your word tells me, and then you go to the Bible and you give him his word, what he told you, do you know how that opens up prayers? You know that God's eyes open up and he smiles and he said, yep, that's my word and I'll stand behind it. I gave you my promise. The Old Testament, nothing in there, right? I know you don't believe that, so I know. So Jesus was fasted for 40 days and he was tempted by the devil. He's there in the desert, tempted by the devil. And the devil told him to do such and such. And what was his answer? Well, three words. He said to the devil, it was written. It is written. Jim? And he tried again with something else. He tried to trick him with something else. And Jesus said what? It is written. And he tried a third time with him. I want to get him this time. I'm going to get him this time. Jesus say, it is written. I know you know this, but I smile when I wrote this down today because he said it is written, right? Right, Deacon Sergio? You know what wasn't written then? The New Testament. So what was Jesus talking about? Yeah, and he said it was written. The gospel wasn't here yet. James, John, all the other books that you read, Paul's letters, they weren't in there yet. The New Testament wasn't even here yet. But there was Jesus telling Satan, it is written. There was nothing written in the New Testament yet. I love that. I know you know that, but sometimes, like Dave said last week, when God shows you something in a different way, you realize there was no New Testament. So there's nothing, and I'm going to say it again, nothing dead in this book. There's nothing dead. There's nothing but life, hope, and peace, and faith in this book. And God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's nothing dead in this book. There's nothing in this book that's not worth learning and leaning on. Amen? There's no death. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's the same. Hallelujah. It is written. Satan only knew one book that was written too, the Old Testament. Don't let anybody tell you. I mean, there's so much in here that for you every day, I mean, I love every day getting into that and looking websites and learning something. It's amazing. When God opens your eyes to see something, you say, oh, I want to learn this. Great. Let me keep reading and learn more. And we talked about foolish language. Anybody ever hear about foolish? Anybody use foolish language? Anger. If anybody uses, you got people around you, and I have people around, I've used foolish language too. But if it was ever played back to you what you said yesterday, some of the foolish language, how do you think that would sound to you? If you was somebody that was saying all this crazy stuff, and you went back with the recorder the next day and said, listen to what you said yesterday, listen to what that sounded like. Is it evil? No. Is it foolish? Yes. It's an outward appearance. Understand that your words are an outward appearance. Sometimes you're dressed up, nice shoes, but you use foolish words. Your words matter. Do you know that? How many know that to be true? Your words matter. When you talk to your children, your words matter. When you talk to your grandchildren, you talk to your friends, your words matter. If you talk sickness and you talk all this negative stuff, it matters because people hear it. But if you talk something good, listen, they might not accept it. Sometimes they might laugh at you, but trust me, they'll remember, and something will happen if you just give good because your words matter. You're around people who speak good. Don't think for one second that people don't hear the good things that you say. Don't think for one second they don't hear that you don't use foul language. Don't think for a second they don't. Don't think for a second that you continue to use foul language, that they know that you do, and then they judge your church, they judge your God by that. How many want that to happen? Not me. I've done enough wrong in my life that people can judge God, and I don't want God to be judged because of me. Hallelujah. Your words matter. especially God's words, kind words, clean words. People notice that. Like I said, you might be all dressed up in a great suit, shiny shoes on, a tie on, and a beautiful hat on, but the words that come out of your mouth represent who you are on the inside. Foolishness. James tells us, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Right? Out of the same mouth that you're saying all these negative things, you're also praising God and asking God to do great things. And while you're asking God to do great things, you're speaking negative. So he said, I can't. The angels standing there. How many know you have angels? We're going to get in that Bible. We have angels with us. And the angels standing there wanting to help you. And the next thing you do is say something negative. And he said, well, I can't help you. Oh, I'm going to be sick. The angel said, I can't help you. You just confess something I can't help you with. I'm not going to make you sick, but because you said you're sick, or you said 30 years ago something happened and you're carrying it with you, the angel said, I can't help you. The second you let all that go and you come back to me and say something good, I can help you. I can bless you. The angels from God. James also said, with our tongue we bless our God and Father, and with our tongue we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Think about that. The words that you use. God is standing right there. The angels are standing right there. Listen, we've all gone and done places that we didn't want the angels to be. I'm confessing. Anybody want to confess with me that I've taken God in places he didn't want to go? But they stayed there with me? With it we bless our God, Father, and with that we curse men. You see, this should not ought to be. That's not in one accord. You're walking by flesh, not by faith. I know we all make mistakes and say words we shouldn't and do things we shouldn't. But when you start to see it and start to feel it, you start holding back. Because you're representing yourself, amen, first of all. It's your outward appearance of the words you use. If you're harsh, if you're angry, if you're complaining. How many know people here are complainers, amen? How many, truly, tell me the truth. How many know you hear complainers? How many want to be around complainers? Nope. Sorry. Does that make us bad? No, because we want to be lifted up as we lift to someone. When you're around somebody who's in a good spirit, who says good words, or whatever, how many want to be around somebody who makes you feel better? I do. Somebody that says good things to you and makes you believe and gives you hope and faith. I was texting somebody today that we know and love, and I said to him, God is stronger than the virus. God is stronger than COPD. God is stronger. I've seen this man healed, and I'm saying, you got to rise up. I know that we're sick. People, how many know people get sick? My elbow, I hurt my elbow 3 weeks ago, and there was 2 weeks I couldn't move my arm. I understand that. I mean, that was a little bit of pain, not compared to a lot of what everybody's going through. But I understand.
But we got to keep claiming the healing. We got to keep claiming God.
Especially in this church. If this church is in one accord, if this church can be in one accord like the Bible says, great and mighty things will happen here in front of you. Can I get an amen? I know James gives us the last excuse, but no man can tame the tongue. Don't take that as an excuse. Well, the Bible says no man can tame a tongue. The meaning of foolishness, I looked it up, Jim. You'll come to Bible study, you'll find out that I look up the meanings of words to kind of open them up. The meaning of foolishness is lack of good sense or judgment. And some of the other words are stupidity, lunacy, and imbecility. You sound like an imbecile. You sound like a lunatic. That's what foolishness does. It's not a sin, it's just an outward expression. And if you call yourself a Christian, then they judge your God. I don't want that happening, amen? Can I take a couple extra minutes? I've told you this before, but I want to tell you one more time. One time in my life, and I know exactly where I was, in the middle of the woods in Westchester County. And I was by myself, my brother and George were other areas, but I started praying. I started shaking. My knees started shaking. I started feeling his presence. I was crying. I was weeping. I wasn't sad. I wasn't any of that. But my heart was just all about God. It was like sometimes when you surrender all, and that's what I was doing. I was just surrendering all. I had all these things in my heart. And you know, in your life, when things come and things are hurting you real bad, and I know that we all have those things, those issues. I started shaking. My knees started shaking. I put my bow and arrow down on the ground, and I just leaned against a tree. I was in, and my heart was just, I felt this euphoric, beautiful feeling, because I felt God, like God had moved 2 inches closer to me. Because you all know, when God comes close to you, if Jesus ever walked in here glorified, we all be dust. We couldn't stand in it. But I felt like God had just moved 2 inches closer to me. I felt his presence. I felt him around me. I started weeping and weeping, and I didn't care. It felt so good, and it felt so scary at the same time. And I use scary, and I don't even want to tell you that, but it felt like I couldn't breathe. I felt like, oh man, this is amazing. And it got to the point, church, where I was saying, okay, God, and it sort of eased up. It was so consuming to me. It was so, and I know in my heart why it happened, because I was just ready. I was so empty of my strength, that it was God said, I can come to you now. For even that 5 or 10 minutes, how long it lasted. And it's never happened again. Never. And sometimes I think, because I want it to happen and I'd like it to happen, that I get in the way of it happening. Because I was just an empty vessel at that moment, and I felt his presence in a way that I said, true Lord, you come close to me like that again. Please not while I'm driving or while I'm doing anything. Because it was absolutely amazing. It was absolutely amazing. It's the truth. It's one time. But I felt his presence. That's why I say, if this church can be in one accord, we can feel things and see things that if we can just believe for God in your life and things will change. The glory of God. How many see the glory of God? Our God. How great is our God? Loving him means following him. Loving him means being renewed day by day, learning from him, loving him every day. That's how you show him your love. That's how you show your faith, that you trust him, not me, but you. Here's the news. He's not done with us yet. Can I say that again, church? Listen to me. God is not done with us yet. There is always more blessings and prayers answered. Your prayers. You've got so many. He's not done yet. So I ask you, are you willing to wait, to see, to believe, to receive? We must be ready to receive. That means you must do all you can to till the land, your land, work, walk in faith as you wait. Is Jesus not worth it? He's telling us that we need to till the ground. What does that mean? You need to till the ground inside of you. You need to pull the weeds out and throw the weeds. You need to take the stones and the rocks and the dirt, pick them up and throw them away. You need to till the ground, because those seeds inside of you, they want to grow. And as you till the ground, as you work on you on the inside, God can fill you with him. I believe that. Remove the rocks. Clean up anything that holds us down, that steals our joy. Let the seed grow. Out with the old, we are new. The seed given, we must water and fertilize with his word till the ground, until we're in one accord. Thank you, Lord. We share the same Lord Jesus. Amen. We share the same guide for life. Amen. We share the same love for God. Amen. We share the same desire to worship him. We share the same struggles. We share the same victories. We share the same job of living for him. We share the same joy of communicating the gospel, one accord, one team, God's blueprint, God's promise. To be in one accord is God's blueprint for our future. For this church, for you, for your lives, for your families, we need to pray. We're on that same team. We need to come together for those that need help. We need to lift up each other. We need to come together for God. Not about feeling, but about faith. Give God praise this morning, church. Like I had no strength in my body that day, which is amazing. I pray you all find that. I pray you all want that. Search for that. Don't believe man, believe God. Don't believe what man says, believe God. Don't believe what they tell you can happen, believe God. All things are what, church? Possible for those who believe. Jesus is our all in all. Without Jesus, we'd all be lost. Without Jesus, we'd be worthless. We'd just be hoping on nothing. But we have Jesus sitting at the right hand of his Father. He said to use his name when you pray. He told us to use his name when we pray. Don't insult him by using that name and then not believing your prayer. He's sitting there waiting. He did this for us. They call it the Last Supper. We just say in church, in remembrance of him. That's what he's called us to do. In remembrance of him. Thank you, Lord. My bread is already breaking. He took the bread and he broke and blessed it, saying, this is my body being torn for you. This isn't a religious thing. This isn't a denominational thing. This is about Jesus. If you love Jesus, you do this because he called us to do this. And he told the disciples, and he's telling us, eat and do this in remembrance of me. It's that simple. In Jesus' name. I know there's people. We've had folks who come and said, well, I have to do it in my church. That's not God's rule. That's a man's rule. Oh, I can't do that here. It's not my denomination. That's man's rule, not God's rule. What you're doing now is unto God. That's simple. Unto God. That doesn't matter. If you hold anything in front of God, it doesn't matter. He took that blood, he took the wine and poured it into a cup, saying, this is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. So, Father, forgive us today. Cleanse us today, Lord, for any iniquities we had, Lord, any words, any ideas, any thoughts we had that were not from you, Lord, that we hung on to, Lord. Help us, Lord, to weed out all that things in our spirit, Lord. Help us, Lord, to take the stones and rocks out from so the seed can grow inside of us, Lord. So this that we do today will be a healing for us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, as we accept this. As he poured wine, saying, this is my blood being shed for you, according to Matthew, for the remission of your sins. And he says, do this in remembrance of me, in Jesus' name. We're not passing out to-go cups either, just saying. Nope. You're in obedience to the word of God right this minute, what you did. Accepting God and accepting Jesus in your heart. Accepting the last Lord's Supper, what he said, you took that in. Let it be a healing for you. Let it be a beginning. Let every day be a new beginning because you renew day by day. Being renewed day by day means you've got to get rid of other things. You've got to move other things out of the way because God said you're renewed. Don't hold on to the bad. Don't hold on to anything that separates you from God. I pray that for you this morning. In Jesus' name, give him praise, church. Hallelujah. We are on one team. How many teams?
One
team. We want to be in one accord in this house, and then great and mighty things will happen. I believe it, Jim. I know I'm crazy, but I believe that the church stands together. This building will shake. God's presence will be here, and you will say, man, my holy God, and you won't be able to contain all your testimonies. You won't be able to stop telling people what God has done. See, that's what we're supposed to do. God said, I've done this, this, and this, and this, but you have to do this, this. You have to go out to the world. You have to tell people. He's saying the harvest is ready. Go out and get them. He said, I've done all the other work. You got to do something. That's all. Hallelujah. I believe in great and mighty things. I believe the promise of God. I believe for you. I believe for this church, for your family, for your friends. I believe great things for you, Sister Faith. Great things. Great things. Not little things, but great things. Great testimonies of prosperity and blessings and things that you never thought possible. Because you're calling on God. You're not calling on a religion, a denomination. You're not calling on a pastor or a priest. You're calling on God. and the Word of God. Hallelujah. Just give Him praise. I'm just so excited. Yes. I pray you receive that. Any announcements today, Miss Marilyn? I'm okay. Praise the Lord. Thank you for praying for me.
And one more sad note.
Okay.
Jean Van Gogh's sister, Carol, passed us away.
She went home to be with Jesus. It's a sad note for us. It's a celebration for God, a celebration for Jesus. And I pray that the family understands that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I believe that. Totally. I believe that 100%. The last breath you take here, the next breath you take with God. I believe that for Mark Bush. I believe that Mark Bush, and folks laughed at me, Debbie, we had somebody in our church who absolutely loved God, and he used to say to me all the time, someday I want to walk with Jesus. That's what he would say. Everybody would tell you, everybody here is like family, and he said, oh, I want to walk with Jesus. You think someday when I pass away, I'll walk with Jesus? Just before he passed away, my wife and I went over to see him, and he was laying in bed, and we know that he was close to going to heaven. And I said something that everybody thought was funny, but I said, Mark, when you're walking with Jesus, would you mention my name to him? And see, to me that was like, because I believed that he was going to walk with Jesus. And I believe he's walking with Jesus. But I said to Mark, when you were with Jesus, would you just mention my name? And it gave me goosebumps just to think that something like that was real. So we'll pray for them, but the beauty, because this isn't the life that we're praying for. The next life, your salvation, where we're going to go from here. How many have lost loved ones, right? You're all in your hands. But the Bible says we're going to be with them again. This is the only religion that promises that, the way it is. This is the only God and the only Jesus that promises that we'll be together with our loved ones again. That's everything. It's called salvation for tomorrow. Praise God. We want that for everybody. This morning was as much for Anne Marie as it was for all of us. My spirit tells me that we need to do, to help, to do more, to be together as a team, to lift up, because we're all coming in times. There'll be a time of need when you disagree with somebody or you're not feeling as strong, that we all need to come together. But today's message, I pray that John goes home and says, you know those people you didn't come and see today? They love you. You know those people you didn't want to be around today? They missed you. You know those people that were at your wedding? They missed your presence, and they missed your smile, and they missed your spirit. Something was missing today, Anne-Marie, because you weren't here today. That's what a message I want him to bring to his wife, because it's that important. If we're all going to be in one accord, we all need to be that way. Amen. I don't want this to be a club. I want this to be about God in unity. That's what it's all about. The power of God will work better when we're all in unity. Brother John, we love you for your faithfulness.